Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Radio Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today, to share with you the great things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I sound just a little bit tired, we've traveled 6,000 miles in the last 28 days, so we are just a little bit exhausted, if I must say so, having been to Dallas and back, and then to Branson and back, and then to Nashville and back, and then I leave Wednesday going to Knoxville and back to check out the conference room and the hotel for the meeting this September the 30th, October the 1st, October the 2nd in Knoxville for another Hear the Watchman conference. We are tremendously and we're exceedingly excited, needless to say, about the great things that Christ our Lord is doing. God is doing many, many, many things, and if you're not walking in the Holy Ghost, you're going to miss what God is going to do. I never fail to be amazed at the revelations that God is willing to show people and his servants if they have a tendency to seek him and draw nigh unto him. Amen. Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God has secret things that he wants to reveal to his people. But you cannot receive those secret things unless you're willing to spend time in his presence and in his word. I was reading again relative to the book of Acts just the other day. And of course, I've quoted it probably, in all honesty, thousands of times the last 38 years. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. I will pour out of my spirit. I want you to listen to that. I want to say that again, and then we'll talk about our visit with Jim Baker and Lori Baker. I will pour out of my spirit. God has a spirit, just like his Son has a spirit, and just like there is the Holy Spirit. And I will address this in the near future because people have asked me to address the Trinity. But as I was reading that again the other day, it moved my heart deeply and powerfully, because God did not say he was going to pour out the Holy Ghost. Now, I know I'm going to make some of you mad. Some of you are going to get upset. Many of you will miss this, and many of you will get this. God is going to pour out of his spirit. I am a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. I have a spirit. My spirit can be gracious, and I can give graciously, or my spirit can be evil. My spirit can be vile. My spirit can be grieved. My spirit can be happy, because we must walk in the spirit. That negates the carnality and the works of the flesh, from having preeminence in our hearts and in our lives. But it just overwhelmed my spirit when I saw when God said, I will pour out of my spirit, not only the Holy Ghost, but God who has a spirit is going to pour out his spirit, out of his spirit. I want you to get that today. God is going to pour out of his spirit. Jesus gave up the ghost or gave up his spirit on the cross and he died. But yet he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost, but he also had a spirit about his personage. And thus, the death on the cross in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost or gave up his spirit. See, Isaiah 53:12 says, because he hath poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. John says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost or gave up his spirit. He died. His spirit could be riled. His spirit could be perturbed. Some people say, well, Jesus never got perturbed. You don't read your Bible, do you? Jesus got angry. You don't read your Bible, do you? Mark 3, verse 5, and he, Jesus, looked round about on them with anger, being grieved. His spirit was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. So he looked at them with anger, and his spirit was grieved. His spirit was angered and his spirit was grieved simultaneously. And when I begin to read this and begin to see how God is going to pour out of his spirit, God the Father, I thought we're about to receive some of the greatest, deepest, paramount moves of God that mankind has ever witnessed. That mankind has ever witnessed. Following the taping Thursday afternoon, we taped for 5 hours. Steve Quayle got the majority of the first hour, which is fine. And that'll probably be aired the first day. I just sat there and learned and listened and kept my mouth shut till I was asked questions and allowed to expound on the Word of God. I don't know how many programs they'll probably get 4 or 5 days out of the taping. But after the taping, it was probably after dinner, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. If you've ever been there to Grace Street, it's literally a hallway, a huge corridor where they do the taping. But we gathered a group of believers, some beautiful Hawaiian / Filipino brothers and sisters. And we began to pray. And the Holy Ghost fell. I mean, the Spirit of God fell. And my 19-year-old son sat there as they prayed with him and for him and my wife and I and wept uncontrollably for an hour. It was one of the most powerful moves of the Holy Ghost I have witnessed in quite some time. If you think Dallas was something Sunday morning, you should have been here Thursday night following the taping. Now, I don't know when the taping will be aired, but I will make you aware of that. I will tell you about it so that you can watch the telecast. Jim Baker gets into 180 million households. Now, I've already been criticized for going. I've already got mail because people have not ever forgiven the man. I broke down and I wept during the recording, during the taping. I've never witnessed in all of my years such one of the most gracious displays of love I have ever seen in my life in that man and Lori and those who work there. Everybody has a story, and everybody has a broken piece of something in their lives. I said while taping John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. I've preached in literally hundreds of churches. I've preached camp meetings, prayer conferences. You name it, I've preached it. I have never in my life seen and witnessed such a display of the love of God and been treated with such love, such affection, with everyone there having a servant's heart. I've never seen a display of anything like this in my life. Now, when you see my opportunity to minister, you will see quickly I did not pull any punches. They may edit it, I don't know, but I called most preachers panty waist preachers. I did not cut any slack when I was afforded my opportunity to minister the Word of God. And by the way, Brother Baker has asked me to come back and preach a revival at Morningside. That blew me away. He said, will you come back and preach us an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival? And my heart was so rent, so broken. I'm telling you, God is going to pour out of His Spirit. God is desirous to do something so powerful, so mighty. God's going to get all the glory. God is tired of denominations. They're going to be ruined. They're going to be utterly destroyed because they have forgotten God. Jeremiah 2:32, can a maid forget her ornaments or her bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. We have forgotten God in the church world today, church. I was never so humbled when Brother Jim Baker said, would you come preach us a Holy Ghost revival? Allowing me, affording me the opportunity to get into millions of households and preach an uncompromising message. Mondo, who's the executive producer, he said, Pastor, we need what you've got. You're going to have mega churches, mega preachers listening to this broadcast. This is where a lot of them get their news from, this broadcast. He said, speak what's on your heart. Then I began to think, God, what will be the criteria? Because I believe God is about to open some doors for this ministry, because we have been faithful for 38 years in preaching and fasting and praying and being uncompromising in the Word of the Lord. And I said, God, in the event these doors begin to open and pastors do invite me to their churches to preach the Word of God, what is the criteria? What is the measuring stick? What is the benchmark? What will you have me to be said to them, to require of them? Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. Can I come to your church and preach the Word of God? If they say, well, it depends on what you preach, then the answer is, no, I'll not come. I must be allowed to preach like John the Baptist, without compromise, without polluting, diluting, or watering the message of God down. Now, I may not get one phone call. I don't know. And personally, I don't care. But the criteria is, will you let me preach the word of the Lord? Everything that's in the Holy Writ, everything that's in the Bible, will you allow me to preach a pure, unadulterated word? And if they say, well, I don't know. Sorry, I'm not coming. I'm not welcome because you don't want God's word. You don't want God's word. And I'm going to preach the word of the Lord. Period. It doesn't matter to me. I'm so sick and tired of these worthless preachers. You're not called to preach. You called yourself. You're like chaff, sir. You're like chaff. You're like the wind which the chaff driveth away. You have no stability. You have no ground. You have no deep roots in the word of the Lord. You are compromised in every sense of the word. And yes, I slam the pre-tribulationist. They may edit it out. I don't know. I looked at the television camera and I said, I want one preacher, one prophecy teacher to give me a scripture verse that shows a 7-year tribulation period. Give me just one. You can't give me one. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. A preacher saying, I'm called of God, I'm anointed of God, and they pick and they choose what they preach. And they preach lies, and they preach hypocrisy. I've never had people. This is the first time these people met me and opened up to me about so many things. And I can't tell you these things. They're personal, very private. But people trust me. They have confidence in my walk with God, and they open up. And I want to encourage you to pray for the Bakers. Jim Baker is 76 years old. I can see the fragility in his body. I see the weakness. I see that age, Father Time, is taking its toll on his mind, his body, his physicality. When he comes on the platform, There's a perk, a lifting up. It's the Spirit of God that gives him the courage and the boldness. But then I see a 76-year-old man that is very, very fragile. And I wept so much while I was there. I cried so much while I was there. You say, why do you cry? I am probably one of the greatest enigmas that you know of. You see, people always misunderstand me because I preach so hard against sin. Yet I love people to no end. Because, you see, I understand it's the sin that's doing the damning. It's the sin that's doing the destruction. It's the sin that is eviscerating the mind, the soul, the body, the spirit. It is sin. And you don't understand me. Those of you who want your name off the mailing list, don't hesitate. Write me, phone me, call me. I'll take your name off the mailing list. One man said, he said, thank you, but no thank you. What Baker, what happened to him back in 1987, something 30 years ago, people will not forget or forgive. Well, those of you who will not forgive, you're going to hell. As you heard me say last week, you can forgive a man, but that doesn't mean you have to be buddies with the man, but you have to forgive the man. I have forgiven people who've done great harm, great damage to me. But I forgive them. Yes, we must forgive. Romans 12 and 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You cannot live peaceably with some men because they're full of contention. They're full of strife. They're full of clamor. They're full of backbiting. They bite and they devour one another, as Paul said to the church at Galatia. I can forgive a man, but I don't have to fellowship with that man. I don't have to have dinner with that man. You see, people don't understand their Bibles at all anymore. 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, you're not to leave the earth. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, or with such a one know not to eat. What's a railer? We have people who rail all the time. They are always sowing discord among the brethren. They're abusive. They're full of mischief. They are revilers. Paul said, don't even eat with them. You say, but you got to forgive them. Sure. But I know their spirit. I know their spirit, Galatians 2. Paul understood their wickedness because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection. No. We didn't submit ourselves to them, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. They who seemed to be somewhat, and conference added nothing to me. You have to forgive, though. And people have not forgiven the man. And because they haven't forgiven the man, they've got aught in their heart. When you pray, your prayer does not get above the ceiling, sir, ma'am. That's as far as your prayer gets. You see, I've preached for so long about keeping the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearer. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have to forgive. But that doesn't mean I put my absolute trust and confidence back in that man. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. There's some men I can never have confidence in. Why? Because of what they've done. They do not demonstrate repentance or forgiveness or reconciliation. I asked a question while we were taping, and I raised my hand. I said, how many sitting in here today watching my television, you've been a hypocrite at one time or another? And I raised my hand. And if you don't raise your hand, you're a liar yourself. Because there's been times in your life when you weren't on fire for God. You said something. You did something. But you went on to church. You still prayed. You still tithed. You were still trying to do right, but you know there were some things in your life that were not right, so you were a hypocrite. That's why people don't understand me. Well, he's hellfire and brimstone, like the one lady said in Dallas. She said, I thought I would listen to about half of Pastor Lankford's sermon, and I would get up and leave because he preached hellfire and brimstone. She said, but I sat there and listened to the whole sermon and watched the altar service. And then for 5 hours while driving home, she said, I cried all the way home, just like I did in 1978 when I got saved. The reason I'm so hard against sin, I see the ravages of sin and what it does to people. It's like standing in your living room. You look out the window. You look out the front door. And there's a 2-year-old child standing in the street. And here comes an automobile down the road. Are you going to stand there and do nothing? Or are you going to run out and scream and holler as hard as you can to try to save that child's life? If there's anything in you at all, you're going to scream to the top of your voice, get out of the road, get out of the road, get out of the road. Why? You don't want to see the child killed. You're not screaming at them because you hate them. You're screaming at them to get their attention. Because you realize the gravity that death is at the door. You don't want to see that little child run over and killed. How many people have given their lives for the sake of others? That's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life for the sake of others. People don't forgive anymore. You're not going to make it if you don't forgive. I said, you're not going to make it if you do not forgive. I've been criticized for announcing to go to your state capitol and pray with Franklin Graham. I didn't ask you to shake his hand. I didn't ask you to join his institution or organization. I didn't ask you to send him a dollar. All I asked you to do was go to your state capitol and pray. That's all I asked. But I got criticized for that. What Pharisees and hypocrites? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We all got garbage and baggage and junk in our lives. We don't even know it's there. Probably, I'd say 20 years ago, while I was still pastoring in Charlotte, North Carolina, after Jimmy Swaggart fell, the evangelist I had in my home, Brother Paul Jacobs, great man of God. I love him to death to this day. He said, David, you want to look at Jimmy Swaggart's latest evangelist? Sure. I looked at it, and Jimmy Swaggart had written an article on pedophilia. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I had heard with one of those prostitutes, he asked her to bring her 10-year-old little girl and let him see her. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I was told that by someone who said they knew it was so. And something rose up in me, and I said, how dare you write an article on that subject after what you've done? And the Spirit of God smote my heart while sitting there on the couch and said, David, you still have unforgiveness in your heart. You see, it took an article to bring to light I was still harboring something in my heart. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalms 103:10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Psalms 130, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I don't teach and preach sinless perfection. I preach in striving and contending for the faith. While I was baptizing all of those young people in Dallas, I told every one of them, don't you ever quit. I said, you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes. But don't you ever quit. I said that to all of those teenagers. 18, 19, 20, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids being baptized. I said, don't ever, ever, ever quit. You will fail God along the way, but don't ever quit. My flesh, your flesh, it's not redeemed. You can color your hair. You can get you a facelift. You can do all sorts of things. Father, time's going to get you. I don't care what you do. You're getting old. I'm getting old. I witnessed Brother Jim Baker, a man that's getting old. But he's trying to warn the people. I have to be careful here. I've never seen people confide so much in me the first time I've ever met them. I could tell you some things You would not believe it if I told it to you. You wouldn't believe me. You'd say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. These people have no reason to blow smoke up my dress. But I sensed a hunger. I sensed a hunger. Obviously, Brother Baker sensed something as well to ask me to come back and preach a revival. To minister the Word of God. We need to pray one for another. We need to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving one another. See, I know God's moving me in an absolute another direction. Sometimes this radio ministry is literally filthy with the people who have a radio mic. Liars, cheaters, deceivers. I was lambasted months ago because I didn't take somebody's side, called a liar, dishonest. I lacked integrity. Why don't you take care of your own rotten business instead of worrying about my business? And ma'am, that letter you wrote me just about 2 weeks ago, who's going to redeem my name? You have a spirit of Jezebel on you, ma'am. Kimberly. Don't write me and try to correct me when I did nothing. I did not sin. I did not do anything. I just stood still and was quiet. The Bible said in James 1:19, be slow to speak. I try not to shoot my mouth off like most people. Be slow to speak. Be swift to hear. And be slow to wrath. These are the fundamentals of Christian living, but they don't abide by them anymore. And people wonder why the church is going through the great tribulation. Oh, God loves us. But we're not fit for the kingdom of God. You say, that's rather harsh. That's rather crass. Well, let me give you some Bible for that. Can I give you some Bible for what I just said? Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Many of you, others listening, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You say, that's harsh. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Sir, Jesus said that, ma'am. Get the telephone pole out of your own eye before you try to get the toothpick out of somebody else's eye. A lady wrote me an email. Dear Pastor Lankford, blessing on you for your faithfulness to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. 32 years ago, I received the call to minister to our Lord and intercession and spiritual warfare. For 32 years, the Lord has had me warfare for the condition of the church. Brother, God has set you up for such a time as this. A shepherd that gathers the remnant and feeds the flock. The plumb line is the preeminence of Jesus Christ in our midst. The door of mercy is about to shut for the rebellious and willful, and judgment in the house of God is at the gate. He wants his people to submit to the staff of his word, but most have not. so he must come with a rod of correction. I am praying for your ministry and other faithful ministers of the gospel. God is with you. The plumb line. What is the plumb line? The plumb line is the word of God. God is about to extricate and remove me from one place to another position. I did not ask for it. I did not ask God to elevate me. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5 and 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I sowed a seed in Morningside Ministry while I was there. God spoke to my heart the Sunday before I went. I put a check in my shirt pocket. I said, God, you let me know if I'm to give or if I'm not to give. And the Lord opened the door. We sowed into that ministry, my wife and I. We gave. I'm expecting God to give back to me because you reap what you sow. Luke 6:38, give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosoms. I'm not talking about a prosperity message. I'm talking about the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I believe God's about to open doors for this ministry so I can go and evangelize and hold revivals and preach the gospel. I've got to do more. I said, I've got to do more than I'm doing. I've got his word burning in my heart like fire shut up in my bones. People need to hear the word of the Lord. God's going to open the doors. He said, I'll open a door, no man can shut it. I'll shut a door, no man can open it. God is about to open doors. That prophecy given to me will be 2 years this coming November. And that black sister said to me in the emergency room, in 2 years, your ministry will explode. Thus I prayed while I was at Morningside, God, what's the criteria of me going to places? Ask them, can you preach the word of God? If there's hesitation, if there's a question mark, tell them you're not going. Write them off. That's how you'll know. If they say, yes, you can preach anything from the word of God, then go. If not, no, we don't go. We don't go. We do not go where we cannot preach the word of the Lord. You see, Jim Baker's taking a grave chance in inviting me to preach a revival because I'm hellfire and brimstone. That's why people don't understand. I hate sin with a passion. Because I see the ruthless and relentless destruction and chaos it creates every day. And thus I am broken and I weep so profusely because I see the devastation, the havoc it has wreaked upon so many people's lives. Jeremiah 9:1, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. I'm a weeping man, not because I'm a pitiful punk and weak and anemic. No, I weep because I see the destruction. I see the injury. I see the harm. I see the hurt. And it's all because of sin. And that's why I preach so hard against sin. Because if I can stop the people from getting into sin, I can stop the hurt. I can stop the destruction. I can stop the chaos. I can stop the ruination. I can stop it, not in myself, but by the word that's preached. I remembered Leonard Ravenhill, his book, America's Too Young to Die, back in the 80s. I probably need to get it out and reread it again. But I distinctly remember him saying, in the last days, God was going to begin to raise up men. And the question will be, well, who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you go to school? Do you have a doctorate? Do you have a PhD? Do you have a Bachelor of Arts? What do you have in the ministry? Have you been to a school of theology? The answer every time is going to be no, 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 no. Well, how did you get here? There was a man named John who was sent from God. God's going to send him. I said, God's going to send them. Man's not going to send them. God's going to send them. Read it. John 1, 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God's going to send men to preach an uncompromising message. And they're going to say, well, where did you go to school at? Who ordained you? Where did you get your credentials at? From the Holy Ghost. A man sent from God, whose name was John, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I'm not the light. I'm not stupid, but I'm to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. God's going to move. I'm telling you, God is getting ready to do something. I don't know if it's a financial disaster. I don't know if it's martial law. I said on Baker's program, what if something happens in this election? We have a majority in the Congressional House. We do not have a majority in the Senate. In the judicial branch, the Supreme Court justices, Antonin Scalia is dead. So we're divided 4-4 relative to the justices. What if something happens and something is sent to the Supreme Court to adjudicate and they're deadlocked and we don't have a majority in the Senate to ratify something sent from the Congress, the Congressional House? Oh, I reckon Mr. Obama then will run by executive orders until something is straightened out. You see, we didn't miss anything. We didn't dodge a bullet this past fall. I'm telling you, I believe this because this was a leap year. The resurrection was celebrated here under the Gregorian calendar 3 Sundays ago. But Passover is not till the 22nd or 23rd of this month of April. That's your leap month, the Adar. It's pushed out late into April, the true Passover and the true resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's God doing? God is getting ready to move. As we say in the South, something is fixing to happen, and you better get ready. The last 3 years, God has totally redesigned my life, my outlook, my viewpoints, do one thing, preach the word, reap the harvest, for the fields are white, and they are ready to be harvested. I want souls. Proverbs 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. I want to be a wise man. I want to be like Joseph. I want to bring in the sheaves. You remember the dream that Joseph had? All of those sheaves fell down and paid obeisance to him. Even Jacob grappled with it. All of his brothers grappled with it. They all couldn't handle it. But Joseph was chosen, a man sent from God. Hello? Joseph was a man sent from God to go prepare to save his people. I was sharing that with Brother Baker. He looked at me. He said, I just got a revelation. They tried to kill their salvation when they tried to kill Joseph. I said, exactly. They're trying to kill me. As a matter of fact, I forget what I said. He said, Pastor, you know they'll kill you for that. I said, I don't care. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I don't live in fear. No, I don't live in fear. I'm not going to give the devil any room in my life. I refuse to be controlled by the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Genesis 45:1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. He wept. He wept profusely, uncontrollably. He sobbed. Psalms 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He brought his sheaves home because he wept and he prayed and he sought God. Are you going to bring any sheaves with you? Or do you even care about the sheaves, the souls? Do you even care about them? Again, you want your name removed from the mailing list? Drop me a note. I'll drop you like a hot potato. I'm going to talk about unforgiveness tomorrow. You think you're saved. You know, let me say it this way. 99% of my attacks from this ordeal that started back in December was from women, Jezebels, calling me, phoning me. I rebuked them. One lady said, she said, thank you for straightening me out. I run my mouth and should have kept my mouth shut. I'm going to tell you what you better do, folks. Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You better start taking heed and looking at your own life. You better put your own life under the microscope of the Word of God. Tale bearers, busybodies, meddling in strife, it's none of your business, but you meddle in strife because you're full of strife. I told my wife, I'm so glad I'm not the judge of anybody. I judge whether it's right or wrong, but God is the ultimate judge of heaven or hell. But you got people out there who will tell you they're the judge and they're the jury and they're sending you to hell or they're sending you to heaven. I'm telling you, people, we have got to get laser focused on the Word of God and begin to live and walk in the Holy Ghost. And I think from here on out, because I got such an ugly email today, if you don't support this ministry, I'm not going to answer any more emails anymore. One smart aleck asked me, did I believe a person could lose their salvation? I said, read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Read Jude verse 5. Read about Judas Iscariot, an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then wants to email me back and say, you're wrong. See, all they wanted to do was pick a fight with me. That's all they wanted. They didn't really want the truth. See, they're deceived. They feign humility. They feign that they're asking an honest question, but they're just liars and hypocrites. That's all they are. And I told the man in the email, Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Yeah, your heart is proud. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You're going to bust your face wide open, sir, because you're arrogant and you're a smart aleck. You don't want the truth. You want to argue. Don't ever email me again. You waste my time in prayer. You waste my time in the Word of God. You're a thief from Satan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You don't want to know the truth because you've got sin in your life and you want to live in your sin. You justify it with Judas Iscariot and ask that dumb question, can a man lose his salvation? God lost Lucifer. God lost Adam and Eve. It's up to you to stay saved. I said it's up to you to stay saved and walk with God. He said, I won't leave you. It's men that leave God. God doesn't leave anybody. God bless you. I'll see you back tomorrow at this same time in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.